Welcome. It's the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News. Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever fits, wherever you may be, whatever time of day you may be listening, live streaming, or by way of MP3 download. How you doing? Well, four-day weekend. I hope you enjoyed the pre-recorded segments of the Bible study Thursday and Friday. We love to keep the continuity of that lesson going. And then, I don't know, Pastor Klostermeyer, with a four-day weekend, is it kind of hard to figure out where you are today? And you were out of town, too. You were down at the National Youth Gathering,
right?
Yeah,
I was going to say, the song My Heart's in San Francisco, well, my brain is in San Antonio.
And you're in Wentzville, for starters. Pastor Jeremy Klostermeyer is our guest. He serves at, what is that congregation again, sir?
St. John's Lutheran Church in Warrenton, Missouri.
Now, you should be considering your congregation is named after the writer of today's epistle lesson that we have. You should be an expert in all things John, shouldn't you?
Well, especially with the National Youth Gathering, we had 1 John 4 last week.
Really?
That was their focus on the great love passage, 1 John 4:7-14. So.
Well, that's going to be coming up in a couple of days. Today, your assignment, Pastor Klostermeyer, is 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 to 18. And we should have the Beatles music playing in the background. Love, love. I can't sing. I won't do that to our listeners, but you know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah. Love song.
Love, love, love. Yeah, it also appears to me that the more we get into this epistle, let me ask you this. As some might say, wouldn't you think, Pastor Klostermeyer, that the whole Christian thing would be a lot easier if we didn't have to love people we just can't stand?
Well, as we know from 1 Corinthians 13, love is the basis for all things, but it is the place where love comes from that makes a difference. And we have a false view of what love truly is in our society, in our world, and even among Christians.
Well, we're going to have to define terms today. We're going to have to talk about if hate is the opposite of love, or we're going to have to throw ambivalence in for the discussion as well. Yeah. We're going to have to figure out just what kind of love it is we're talking about. And, you know, if you just go through so long as you act like you're loving someone, is that good enough? Because John, I'll tell you something, Pastor Klostermeyer. The more you read John, I think John is probably, of the gospel and epistle writers, the one that makes me the most uncomfortable.
Yeah, he doesn't pull any punches, and he tells it like it is. He and James, they like to mess with our Lutheran mind sometimes.
Well, and it all depends on how you read it, I guess.
That's right.
Yeah, well, let's begin with prayer. Excuse me. You know, 4 days away, you forget simple things like how to speak. I apologize for that. Let's begin with prayer.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for another day on your earth, the earth that you created for us and put us in. And even though we messed it up by our sinning, you still love us. And you have caused us to love you and to love each other. And as we study and as we learn more about that love today, help us not to take your love for granted in our own lives or in how we love each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, we have new local phone numbers. It's too bad you couldn't drive in from Wentzville. You should really see the new studios that we have here at the International Center. It's something to behold.
Yeah, I've been wanting to get there, but
well, perhaps next time. But here we have a new local phone number since we're in a new place. We've moved from the campus of Concordia Seminary, and we've come over to the International Center of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. So we'd have a new phone number for our local callers. That's 821-0850. 821-0850. And for anyone else in the continental United States, some parts of Canada as well, 1-800-730-2727. And if that's not good enough, always aiming to please, you can also get in by way of email, kfuo@kfuo.org. Now, the one thing about John, and when it comes to love, and you go to the Sermon on the Mount or all the other discourses on what it means to love someone, do I always, absolutely always, have to put somebody else ahead of me, or do I ever get to have some me time? Do I ever get to, well, have some time to myself to do my own thing without feeling guilty about it?
Well, if we're truly thinking about what it means to love one another, then we, you know, one of the things that I think it was John said is that if you, we should love one another as we love ourselves. And so to have this me time, as you say, it's something that gets kind of confused. When we're talking about loving each other, that comes from God. And so if you're not loved by God, you're not going to love yourself much either, and so then you're not going to love others either. And so we have to understand truly what love means first before we can even begin to love ourselves or and love ourselves in the right way, not in a selfish way, but to love ourselves in the way that God loves us.
Well, explain something for me, because when you talk about loving self, that sounds kind of, you know, sort of psycho-speak. You know, like a psychologist or a psychiatrist might tell you if you're feeling depressed or something, that you have to learn to love yourself.
Yeah, and that's where it gets confused, is that we think that means fulfilling all of your selfish, sinful desires, whatever those might be, or thinking of yourself first instead of thinking of others. Mm-hmm. But in a Christian Lutheran view of looking at loving oneself, it would be first of all knowing that you're a sinner, and that and to be humbled in that way, so that the Lord Jesus can lift you up, because we as Christians we hate sin and we hate to be in sin. So to stay in sin, and to, as we'll see in the passage for today, whoever makes a practice of sinning is, and I think you might have had that on Friday as well.
We did, yeah.
Is not loving oneself.
Well,
so it's the opposite of kind of what the world says, that do whatever you want and you'll be happy and you'll love yourself. This is a not a neglecting of oneself, but a true understanding of what it means that God loves us and what he truly wants from us.
So I'm supposed to love myself, but I'm sinful by nature. We're supposed to hate sin, you said, so I'm a sinner. So, pass the Tylenol. How can I love something I'm supposed to hate?
Well, we are oftentimes confused about our two natures. And so we have a sinful nature that is in our mortal bodies and that we deal with every day. And so we hate sin. And I kind of, when I explain to people how to deal with other folks who are in sin, we talk about hating the sin but loving the sinner. And so the same holds true, I guess, for ourselves, that if we hate the sin that is in us, as we hear in Romans 7, the good I want to do, I don't do, but the evil I don't want to do, I keep on doing. And so we hate our sinful nature that is in us, but we love our spiritual nature, which, if we are Christians, has been washed clean by Christ's blood, and through baptism we have attained that righteousness. And so to love oneself means to hate the sin, but love what our Lord Jesus is doing in us.
If you joined us a little bit late, lesson today is from 1 John chapter 3. We're going verses 11 to 18. So if you happen to be listening this morning in Warner Robins, Georgia, or Keene, New Hampshire, or even Blacksburg, Virginia, now you can read a little bit ahead as we go through this lesson. Also, if you if you're interested, Pastor Klostermeyer, there are 12 countries online right now, including, of all places, Tunisia, Kazakhstan, and, well, are there any Christians left in England? There must be at least one, because somebody is streaming us in England this morning. As you read the news, you might wonder about that. Okay, here is where it gets sort of difficult to discern, and we could use some good navigation through this. Earlier in John and elsewhere in the New Testament, Well, like John 13 in the Gospel of John. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. So is love about law, or is love about the gospel here in context and what John is writing? And please don't just say yes.
Well, I had a professor at the seminary who, Dr. G was his name. I'm not sure if he's still teaching, but he would use the phrase gospel imperative. And basically what that means is that we have commands from Jesus that are solely gospel-based. So I'm trying not to say yes, but it's what is my motivation, we ask. And so our motivation is not to please God so that he saves us or so that he has favor on us, but our motivation is that out of love, that we love God, and so we want to keep his commands out of pure love, just like if we love our spouse and our spouse asks us to do something, we do it because we love our spouse and we want to please and honor our spouse by serving our spouse.
Really? It's not about consequences? It's not about nag, nag, nag?
Well, that would be our sinful nature coming in.
Okay.
Where at times, you know, my kids on the trip, they got into a little bit of trouble, a couple of them did, and they weren't, and they got caught, and so they weren't necessarily sorry for what they had done as much as they were sorry for getting caught.
Yeah, I've been there. In my youth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just remember, so long as there's no police report filed, nothing happened.
That's right. That's right. God doesn't remember it.
821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's jump over to the phones quickly and grab a call from Rick this morning, who's in Nashville, Illinois. Rick, good morning.
I just love your way of thinking there, Roland. Okay.
I'll take that as a compliment. I hope you meant it to be.
I most certainly did, yes. Good morning to you, and good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
I was listening Thursday and Friday, and I came across some verses before Friday's program in Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21. In other places in Scripture, we know about this peace that passes understanding. But in the Ephesian verses, I found a love that passes all knowledge. So we're not going to get our minds wrapped around this. No how, no way. But
hello?
Are you still with us, Rick? Well, we're still. I have to apologize just a little bit, Pastor Klostermeyer. We're working on this. We've been dropping some calls because we're, you know, lots of wires, lots of connections, and every once in a while we seem to lose the phone callers. And you know that if you happen to drop off, just call us right back. We'll put you back on the air and pick up the study where we left off. But, Rick, call back and finish up your point because I'd like to know what your thoughts were about those texts in Ephesians. I have that page open there. Let's continue on in John until we get, you know, Rick back up on the line here. You know, every Sunday, probably I would expect, I think, just out of good practice, that if you go to a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregation, you're going to hear your pastor stand up and talk about Christ's love by means of his willingly going to the cross to die on behalf of us in our place. And if you don't listen carefully, it may sound like that pastor is telling you something to the effect of, Jesus died for you, now what have you done for him lately? Is that a wrong way to present love?
Well, it's a guilt-based love, then. It's not a... and all of us pastors get into that sometimes because we get into that in our own lives. The devil gets us to misunderstand how we are to approach that, and I would say it's I would have the analogy that at Christmas time, you get a gift. And the gift is yours, whether you didn't do anything to earn that gift. And so you have that gift no matter what. And so the gift is yours, and you can do with it what you want. And, you know, you can misuse that gift. You can not use the gift at all, and or you can even refuse that gift. But as far as the gift of love is concerned that we get from Jesus, it's the same way. We can misuse it. We cannot use it at all. We can return it, reject it. But if we use it the way it's supposed to be used, the way that God, the Holy Spirit, gives us the power and the motivation to use it, then we'll use it correctly and we'll use it rightly. And so we don't need to be guilted into doing that. I can see this very well in our young children, especially, that when they hear the gospel, the Holy Spirit works on their hearts that they want to share it. And we have Vacation Bible School starting tonight, and so many of the kids are just eager to invite their friends so that they can hear the good news of Jesus, and they're eager to tell their little friends about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And that is a pure motivation of the gospel. They're not required to do it. They're not forced to do it. They're not guilted to do it. They just do it because they love Jesus and they want others to hear of that love.
Our text today, 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 to 18. Let's get our text in, then we'll go back to the phones, Pastor Klostermeyer. Picking up at verse 11, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But this we know love. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." And that is our text for today. And waiting patiently on the line is Dorothy. Dorothy from Perryville, good morning.
Good morning. I have to share something with you. Many years ago, I designed and stitched a big stitchery picture and framed it. And the first line says, "Jesus first." It has a capital red J for Jesus. And then it says under that, "Others second." And the O for others is big red capital letter. And then the next line is "yourself last," and the Y is a large capital red. And so J-O-Y, if you read it down the line. And so then you have "joy" down the side. And I have that on my wall. It's large, and it's a witness to anybody that comes in. And anybody else could do that too. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Capitalized and in red, J-O-Y. And then have "joy" down the side also.
That sounds great, Pastor Klostermeyer. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's, I've seen that before, and I think I might have used that when I was a Lutheran high school teacher, that this is a good representation that if Jesus is first, then the other two just fall in place.
Jesus first, others second, and yourself last, and make your letters so that it emphasizes joy down the line.
Yeah, and it all comes from joy, right?
Right, right. And frame it, stitch it, frame it, or paint it, and frame it. Okay, thank you.
All right, Dorothy, thank you. If you happen to come across our friend, Pastor Hendrick, from down there in Perryville at Emmanuel, say hi to him for us. Greet him warmly on behalf of the staff at KFUO. But Pastor Klostermeyer, we've got a couple of moments before we have to go to the break. Maybe as a pastor you're not supposed to, and I don't want to drag you out and make you confess to something in public you don't want to, but honestly, don't you get weary of hearing over and over and over again that we're supposed to love one another, or even worse, of having to tell people that they're supposed to love one another when quite clearly our sinful nature, our selfish sinful nature, the default setting for our sinful flesh, just prevents us from doing that?
Yeah, and that's... I guess you could say, yeah, you know, we get weary of hearing it and weary of doing it because of our sinful nature. But, you know, just like we need to hear the law from time to time so that we're reminded of our shortcomings, in that way, in hearing this, we're convicted of our sin, and then we realize that we haven't loved perfectly, and so then we're able to go to Jesus and realize his love, that his love is perfect, and receive that forgiveness. And so it's a matter of, yes, everyone grows weary of loving. We at times grow weary of serving our spouse. We grow weary of serving our children, serving our church. And so we need to be constantly reminded of Jesus' one command to love one another, but we also realize that his command is easy and his burden is light, that it comes from motivation of grace.
Well, the mark of the church, as John writes, is love, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. But why does it seem that, especially inside the church, and I'm not pointing a finger at any one particular one, you can go, I mean, if you think back, every Christmas, there's always that famous videotape they run about the different groups, the different churches that try and share space in the Church of the Nativity, having fist fights about who's supposed to be where at what time and who gets to light the candles and all this kind of thing. Doesn't seem like the mark of the church is love. Seems like it's just the opposite.
Well, the mark of the church is God's love, and that love flows from him, from the Holy Spirit, through us. But we also know that in the church, or the chief of sinners, and I've always taken the phrase that I'm the chief sinner of St. John's. And so even as we sin, we are also sharing the grace and forgiveness of Christ with each other. But at the same time, there are many false believers, false prophets within the church. And so we realize that as well, that the church is full of sinners. I just bought a t-shirt from CPH last week that said saint and sinner at the same time. Simul Justus et Peccator. I'm sure you've talked about that many times, that we are simultaneously saints and sinners. We're saints because of what Jesus has done for us and in us, that the Holy Spirit lives in us, and we are clothed with Christ. But we are also sinners, and then our mortal bodies have been tainted and filled with sin. And so we have that constant struggle going on within us, and it's a teaching that is very tough for us to understand and tough for us to deal with. But it's one that we have that conflict within us that Paul deals with very rightly in Romans 7.
Pastor Jeremy Klostermeyer is my guest this morning on the Bible study. We're in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 to 18. We'll start defining some terms when we get back, like what is the world, what is love, what is hate? How are we actually supposed to live this out? You can join us at 1-800-730-2727, or locally the new number, 821-0850, or by way of email at kfuo.org.
Hello, I'm Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast for KFUO. We totally depend on the gracious supporters who want this gospel voice to continue and expand as the messenger of good news of Christ. A wonderful part of this support is our underwriters, an ever-increasing number, and so we ask you to find out who they are by checking them out on our website or as you hear them here on KFUO. Write, call, or tell them how much you appreciate their support of Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, I'm Andy Bates. Next week on Faith and Family, we'll be discussing children in worship. Our guest Monday is Pastor Chris Toma, author of Kids in the Divine Service. Ever wonder why we do the things we do in worship and how you can teach your children about them? Join us for Faith and Family Monday at 11 on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Next to the Word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. Martin Luther said that, and we believe it. That's why we're presenting those great musical treasures online at classic99.com. Why don't you check us out? classic99.com, classical music and sacred classics 24 hours a day, a ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? We've all heard about people who had conversion experiences, and most of us would seriously doubt the sincerity of their new-founded convictions. Think about Saul of Tarsus, for instance. After the stoning of Stephen, Saul ran out of Jewish followers of Jesus to persecute in Jerusalem, so he had letters issued to him for him to do the same to the Jewish believers in Damascus. Then he encountered the risen Messiah Jesus on the Damascus Road, and the man who once tried to persecute those who followed the way was now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. No wonder many of the disciples back at home in Jerusalem were afraid of him. There was one disciple who believed Saul's story, and in many ways we could credit this man with us knowing Saul of Tarsus today as Saint Paul. Here's what the book of Acts tells us about the befriender named Barnabas. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he preached boldly in the name of Jesus. God used Barnabas to start St. Paul on his mission of telling those who were not Jews about the Jewish Messiah Jesus, who redeemed the world. Here's how commentator Tom Wright puts it. The person to do this task, to spearhead the work of getting the message out to those outside the law, must be one who most clearly of all others in his generation had been the most keen to stamp the message out. Would you want to reach the pagan world? If you did, the person to do it would be a hardline, super-Orthodox, Pharisaic Jew. And some say that God doesn't have a sense of humor. Let's pray about this. Lord, who among us is equal to the task you have set before us? None of us. But your Son, Jesus, has redeemed us for your calling. Help us to be ready for the surprises. For we pray in the name of Jesus, whose death and resurrection has redeemed the whole world. Amen.
Welcome back. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide KFUO. Pastor Jeremy Klostermeyer is my guest. He serves at St. John Lutheran Church way out west of St. Louis in, what is it? Is it Warrenton? Is it Wentzville? Or is that all sort of, if you drive around on Highway 70, it seems like you can't tell where one starts and the other stops anymore.
Well, you folks up there in the city,
you
get those all confused all the time, but we're in Warrenton, which is about 15 minutes west of Wentzville.
Well, let me tell you, if you start out in the city of St. Louis on Highway 70 and you drive all the way out to where you are, there are no brakes.
Nope.
It's all developed. Where did everybody come from?
I know, and I remember about 14 years ago, I did my vicarage up in Hannibal, and that whole 40 stretch was all stoplight.
Oh, yeah, the old 61, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we are in John, 1 John, chapter 3. We're going verses 11 to 18. Let's venture back to the phones and see if we are more successful this time. Rick, if you are still listening, call back. I do want to hear your comments about that Ephesian text that you brought up. But let's see if we can keep Jan on the line for a bit here. Jan, good morning. How is everything down in Atlanta?
Good morning, Roland. It's fine. We're still here. Hi, Pastor.
Good morning.
Our New Testament lesson was from Galatians 6, and I think it speaks to the dilemma of not necessarily seeing the fruit of our love or whatever. I'm thinking about Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. My question is having to do with reaping is what you get after you've sown, right? And is the doing good the sowing? And the other thing is, something bothered me about the passage we're studying. I thought of Hebrews 10. It says in verse 26, for if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a fearful expectation of judgment. So when we know that we're supposed to love each other, then that speaks to our life of repentance, knowing that we don't. And I'd just like your thoughts, Pastor.
Yeah, Pastor Klostermeyer, that's why I said early on, that when you read John, you can become very uncomfortable. And I think Jan points that out well. Go ahead, Pastor.
In our passage for today, and as you've been studying along for 1 John, you hear that phrase, make a practice of sinning, or go on sinning, or deliberately sinning. And that is a true danger for us as Christians. And that is what, if we think of, my mind always goes to a drug addict. And a drug addict knows that they're not supposed to be on drugs, yet they are addicted to those drugs. And drugs take over their life and ruin their life, even though they know they're not supposed to be doing them. And any sin can become that way, that it takes over our life to the point where we are in danger of losing our faith because of that sin. And so it's a matter of sin causing us to lose faith in Christ. And if a person is deliberately sinning or continuing to sin, knowing that the sin is wrong, then they are in danger of losing faith and losing their inheritance in heaven. And so it's not a matter of doing. There is only one sin, of course, that is unforgivable, and that sin is unbelief. And so, but these other sins, if we are continuing to do them, can cause unbelief. And so we need to always be careful, because, you know, because what happens is we get into a sin, and the sin makes us feel good, and the sin makes us go further and further away from God until we say, I would rather be able to do this sin or have this sin in my life than I would rather have grace. And so I don't need that grace anymore, and so I'm just going to live the way I want to live. And I believe that that's what John is talking about, that's what Paul is talking about in Galatians and the Hebrew passage that was just brought up, that if we are deliberately sinning, then we don't have God's will in mind, and that can cause us to lose faith.
Well, maybe willfully as opposed to deliberately. I mean, Paul talks about how you...
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think...
Well, the good news is I think we've discovered what the problem is. We were just talking about this during the break. We apparently have to do a little fine-tuning on our board here, because when we have one caller up and talking to us, As soon as they answer a second call, the first one seems to go away. We'll get it worked out. See, that's, you know, this is, even though we have brand new studios and all this, the joy of working at KFUO was this is a station that's over 85 years old.
Yeah.
You know, we still do radio the way it was done in the first place, where it's not always perfect and polished, and, you know, we get the message out. That's the more important thing.
That's right.
So, Jen, I apologize for the call dropping off, but now we, Jen has provided us a valuable service. I'll take this back to Gary, and I'm sure we'll get that fixed in short order, and everything will be working just fine. Let me ask you a couple of questions here, because we have to define some terms, and time is growing short. We have some other callers that are starting to get lined up on the phone here. Here's the issue. Here is the world's major malfunction today, as I would see it, Pastor Klostermeyer. We are preoccupied with the assumption that what is obvious really is what's obvious. It really is what's right. You know, for example, you know, Jesus is obviously about love. So long as we can justify anything we do as coming from an attitude of love, it's obviously a loving thing. You know, so if you think two men can appear to be in a loving marital relationship, well, it must be love. You know, or if it's better for a child not to live an unwanted life, well, maybe abortion is an act of love. What do you think?
Well, verse 16 says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" And so we go back to the caller who talked about the acronym JOY, Jesus, Others, or Self. And so first thing is we have Jesus in mind and what his will is for us. Okay? And his will, as laid down very clearly in the scriptures, is that, in taking the view of homosexuality, for instance, his will is that that relationship is between one man and one woman. And so if we have ourselves first, then we don't really care about what Scripture says. Then it's all about how we view love and how we want to love others. And it's not only in that relationship, the homosexual relationships, it's also in an adulterous relationship when a man or a woman looks elsewhere besides their spouse to find what they consider to be love. And two unmarried people do the same thing when they look for love outside of the Lord's will for that relationship. And so we can go on and on about that and about what people define as love versus what God defines as love.
But is hatred always the opposite of love? And what if I don't hate someone? What if I just don't care?
Well,
you know, the old line about mind, have you heard this old line about mind over matter? I don't mind because you don't matter.
Yeah. And that's a big, huge problem in our church is ambivalence. That the members of our churches and even a lot of pastors, can't forget about them, but they just don't care about others. And so we get back to that acronym JOY. I love that. That Jesus first, others second, ourselves last. And even in our congregations, we tend to all of a sudden get focused inward, and we forget that our mission is to go and make disciples. And we just instead think about ourselves and about our little huddle that we have in our church.
I think John, when he's writing this epistle, is combating a number of different heresies that are rampant in his day that are drawing people away from the church. And I think that is not different from what we deal with today with things when it comes to appearance. What something appears to be, if it appears to be a loving thing, then certainly it must be. But see, here's the problem. There's a contrast here that I think you have to make a real clear distinction about, Pastor Klostermeyer. John, when presented to a contemporary world, John is black and white, as you pointed out. He does not accept things as being nuanced or being in shades of gray. They're all black and white. But there are good pagans in this world, quote, I'm waving my air quotes violently here. They do good things. They give money to charity. They adopt orphan children. They do all kinds of civic works. And the world looks at them and says, well, the world is a good place. There are good people out there. Their intentions are good. But then John says we're supposed to hate the world because the world is a place of hatred. So how do you reconcile those two things? The appearance that there is good in the world with John saying that the world is about hate.
Again, it comes down to motivation. What is your motivation? Yes, a pagan will do good works in the eyes of the world, but his motivation is selfish. His motivation is not from God. And so when God sees those works, he sees nothing but filthy rags. And so all of our own righteousness, our righteousness that doesn't come from God, is nothing but filth, nothing but dirt. He doesn't even recognize it as good. But works that are done in faith and in love are works that are done according to God's will, and he sees those as good works. I hate to go into your lesson for tomorrow.
Oh, go ahead. It's always fun to do that.
Go to verse 23 of 1 John 3. It says, and this is his command, or his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and then love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. And so there's a different spirit among believers who do good works, because their works are done out in the word Spirit here is capitalized, meaning Holy Spirit. And so it's the motivation, it's the Holy Spirit motivation, and the Holy Spirit moving in us that he, and I used this yesterday for worship, that he sends us and then he does the work. And so when we're acting out of the Holy Spirit living in us, it's not even us doing it, it's the Holy Spirit working in us. And you can go back to when Jesus said, whoever gives clothes to somebody who's naked, whoever feeds somebody who's naked, and the unbeliever said, when didn't we do this for you? We did it all the time. But the believer doesn't even realize he's doing it. So the believer says, when did we do that? When did we? And Jesus says, whenever you've done this for the least of these brothers of mine, you've done it for me. And so a believer won't even really realize that they're doing God's will, because it's just their spiritual nature now, the Holy Spirit living in them.
Here in the St. Louis metro area, 821-0850, anywhere in the continental United States, you can reach us at 1-800-730-2727, as well as KFUO at KFUO.org. Let me throw this quick note in. If you're a fan of the Bible study and you listen by way of MP3 download, you maybe come up with a question as you listen to our discussion as we go through the lesson. Send me an email, even if it's a week, a month, whatever time it may be, after you're listening to the original broadcast, and we'll get you answers to those questions. It's a delight. It's part of the function of what we do here. So don't hesitate if you're listening to our study from Luke that took place several months ago and you've got a question about that, send it to me at KFUO@KFUO.org or rlettner@KFUO.org. We'll get that back to you. Let's try the phones again, Pastor Klostermeyer. James has been waiting patiently, and Buzz tells me that he thinks we may have solved our phone problem. So, James, go for it.
Okay. I see in our lesson today that the commandment to love as a Christian obligation. And without that standard, I guess the false profession of carnal Christians would be even more ambiguous. I think if we meditate on God's precepts and consider his ways, we'll delight in his decrees and not neglect the commandment to love. I think that makes a clear distinction between false profession and true profession of faith. So, Pastor, I guess my question to you is to kind of talk about our Christian obligation to love as a standard of true profession, because I kind of see that coming out of this text. And I'll hang up on this.
All right, James, thank you for the call. Pastor, over to you.
Well, I'm not sure if I like the word obligation, because, again, that gives us a different motivation. But again, if we look at the relationship of a spouse, when a spouse commits oneself to the other spouse to love, honor, cherish until death parts us, that's a commitment. And that commitment, again, is not law motivated that we have to do it, but it is gospel motivated that we want to do it. And so I guess an obligation from one spouse to another, yes, you are obligated to your spouse, you're obligated to your children to care for them, to love them. But and so throughout this passage in 1 John we see that the by this we know love, by this we know that we are of the truth, and we are sure our hearts before him that we want to love our neighbor as ourselves. We want to love our spouse. We want to love our children because of Christ's love for us. So it's a want to and not a have to. It's a get to and not a have to. And if we look at it from that point of view and really look at it from, you know, God loved us first, so we love others. And so it's just a matter of that love of the Holy Spirit fills us and then flows through us to others. So it's a get to and a want to and a joy to be able to love others. And you know, but at the same time, as we've already said, many times we have that sinful nature that's always saying, oh, I want to keep this for myself. I don't want to help that homeless person on the road. I don't want to do this for this person. I don't want to volunteer for vacation Bible school because that means for me I'm not going to have as much time for watching my shows in the evening. So our sinful nature gets in the way of that. But ultimately, our will is the Holy Spirit's will. And the Holy Spirit works it all out for us.
Well, let me ask you this question. This may be the hardest question I ask you today. And again, it goes to perhaps how we perceive things wrongly, but then that's no surprise because of our sinful flesh. But why does love divide people seemingly more so than hate? You know, if you want to get somebody together, if you want to form a group and do something, it's far more effective to motivate them out of hatred for something than it is out of love.
That's a good way to put it. My mind automatically went to sports teams.
Yeah, exactly.
How we might not our passions lie with the Vikings, and so we hate the Packers, and so we, you know, our motivation then is that when we play the Green Bay Packers, we're hating them. We despise them, and we despise all their fans, and so a lot of that has to do with our sinful nature winning over again and causing us that, and we think of politics and how a lot of politics is driven by hatred of something instead of wanting to do good. You know, Republicans are just Republicans because they're against Democrats, and vice versa. And so we get that going on because of our sinful nature. But in the end, when it comes down to it, the greatest love that we can show for each other is the forgiveness. That when we have hatred in our hearts and we realize our sinfulness, and our sinfulness condemns us, as we see in our passage for today, then we are able to receive forgiveness and able to give forgiveness freely. And that, of course, comes from Jesus himself, who first forgave us. And then he sent us out and said, if you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness, it's withheld. And that is directly from Jesus breathing on his disciples and breathing on us and giving us the Spirit, that we are able to forgive. And that's where the true love, the real love, the love that comes from God, that's what that is. It, manifests itself very easily seen in forgiveness.
But.
But we still have the sinful nature.
Well, that's true, but what if a person supports something as heinous, and I mean joyfully so, and advocates it as a good thing, let's say late-term abortions, like infanticide, doesn't that excuse our anger at that person, our hatred of that person, or perhaps even our indifference, because what they advocate makes that hatred justifiable? I mean, how can you love someone who advocates for infanticide?
Well, do we hate the person? Because a person is just misunderstanding and is sinning against God. But then that same person could find something in us that is sinful and hate us because of that sin that is in us. And so we...
You see, I'm looking for an out here. You're not going to give it to me, are you?
I'm not going to give it to you. No, we hate the sin. We hate that abortion is legal. We hate that people, even Christians, still believe that abortion is right. We hate abortion itself. It is murder. But we love the person, and we speak the truth in love. And that truth is what will change hearts and minds.
I mean,
our hatred, it's not our anger towards them. It is the truth that we speak and the forgiveness that we give once that person realizes the truth.
Well, I guess in the final rub here, what John is telling us, reminding us, going back as far as Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, and these things that we've known from the beginning, hatred originates with Satan, love originates with God. But you'd think then that love would be more powerful. Like I said, if you want to motivate a group of people, you motivate them based on hate, not on love. Why isn't love more powerful?
Because the world hates love. The world is sinful. The world is of the devil. And so the world, it's kind of confusing, but the world loves to hate because it's of the devil. And so we separate the world and our own sinful nature, and even Cain, as it speaks of in this passage, Cain was of the evil one, and the world is of the evil one. And so the world is always going to be in opposition to love. And we have our wonderful passage, God is love, which is coming up in chapter 4.
Yeah. You know, John says that hatred is evidence of spiritual death.
Yes.
So in a way, is it fair to say that every Sunday morning out there at St. John's, you have a bunch of zombies who show up?
Well, I guess you could say that, who are in need of that forgiveness. Maybe not zombies yet. They're
well,
not
sort of the walking dead kind of thing.
Yeah, the walking dead.
Yeah.
But then they hear the gospel, they receive forgiveness and confession and absolution, and they're made alive again. And so... you know, that word hatred is a confusing word, too. We can say we hate broccoli.
And
to hate broccoli...
I happen to like broccoli, but don't, you know, that's all right. Pick on Brussels sprouts. Everybody hates Brussels sprouts.
That word hatred kind of gets confused in our English language. The word hatred really means to wish death upon someone.
Oh, my.
And, or something. And so... we can strongly dislike somebody, and we don't wish death upon them. But there are times where we wish somebody to die and to go to hell. And so we, that is what Jesus would say is akin to murder. To just wish death upon somebody is the same as murder. And so we strongly dislike someone is not good either, but it's not hatred.
Pastor Klostermeyer, thank you for your time today. All the best to the good folks at St. John's in Warrenton. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
Thank you.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.